How's everyone doing? Excellent. Been enjoying the sunshine? Yeah. It's been nice and warm and toasty. So we always complain that it's too cold, and then we get a lovely day like this, and suddenly it's too hot. But it's been lovely out, and it's. Someone was commenting this morning. I was at Cafe Church up in Holt Park, and somebody there was commenting how encouraged they are by this season, how much they love. The new life that seems to appear when all the leaves come out on the trees, and there's new growth everywhere, it seems, and it lifts my spirits and gives me joy and hope and turns me to God. So, yeah, I was really encouraged by that. So my name's Chris. I'm on the one of the leadership teams for South Parade, and later in the service, Peter, our senior minister, team leader, is going to be preaching to us from God's word. So that's going to be very exciting indeed. If you've not been with us for a while, if you've not been with us at all before, if you're visiting, you're very, very welcome indeed. If you're unsure as to why we do things a particular way, sometimes we're not sure either. But by all means, ask us about it, and we'll see how we do. Please join us after the end of the service through the wooden doors over on the right, just down a couple of stairs, and there'll be tea and coffee and refreshments and things like that. So we can continue our worship and our fellowship there as well. Peter's asked me to suggest that, being as everybody else seems to be out enjoying the sun, if maybe we could move down a little bit. I'm aware that certain people prefer where they're sitting because of the focal length to the screens halfway down. So if that's you, don't worry about moving, that's fine. But if everybody else that's comfortable with the screens at the front could maybe shift a little bit closer, then we can feel a little bit more together. That'd be good. We're starting a new series this week, and we're looking through the Gospel of Luke, and we're looking at it through the theme of good news. Jesus being good news to people in a variety of different situations and different ways. And the passage that we're starting off with today, we usually associate with Christmas because it's about Jesus' birth and the shepherds. But the theme that we're picking up is this idea that the angels introduce of Jesus being good news of great joy that will be for all people. So we're going to be picking up on that theme as we go. But towards the end of the passage, there's a really interesting response that people have. It says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and were just as they'd been told. So whether your natural response to a really meaningful encounter with God is to quietly reflect on it, and to process and think through and pray through quietly, or whether it's to be really loud and exuberant and want to tell everybody about what's been going on. Whatever your natural response is, my prayer this evening is that God would meet with us all, and that Jesus would be good news to us in whatever our situations are. So can I encourage you to stand, and the band are going to play in a minute, and I'll just pray before they do that as well. So thanks. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're present today with us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray that you'll meet with us as we worship you this evening. Turn our hearts, turn our minds to praise you, to thank you for the good things that you've given us. Turn us to seek you in the ways that we need to seek you, Lord. And we have open hearts, open minds, ears and eyes to receive what you're saying to us as well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just where we're stood now, if anybody feels led to shout out anything in praise to God or to thank him for something particular, then I encourage you to do so. Lord God, thank you, as it says in there, that we have one heart and one voice as your people, and that as we worship now, we've been joining in with hundreds and millions of other believers across the world. Thank you for the encouragement of your kingdom come. Amen.
Lord, thank you for the unity of your church. Thank you that around the world, in so many places, there are people who are praising you today. And we pray that we would do our part to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, your church that is one, may we express that in real and dynamic and missional ways that the world might see.
Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you for your great love shown and revealed to us in Christ. Lord, thank you that it's a love that encountering it forever changes us. May we be forever changed by your love, Lord God. May we be more and more like Christ and love others how you love us. Amen. Please have a seat. So this is the part of the service that we call community time, which is the notices plus a few other bits as well. Hopefully on the way in, you'll have got a notice sheet. This has got some of the details of the regular events in the life of the church and particular other events that are going on as well. There's a few that that are probably worth mentioning. But has anybody got any notices that they'd like to give or need to give that they haven't let me know about? Yes, so Peter's got one. I'll let you go first. Go for it.
Good evening, everyone. Great to see you. Just to say about the prayer initiative, Thy Kingdom Come, which runs from the 10th of May to the 20th of May. We are very much joining in with that this year, and there are various opportunities for prayer. Within the notice sheet, everybody should have a program of what is happening. It begins on Thursday, Ascension Day, when Paul Rockley is leading a service here in Headingley, where we can celebrate Ascension Day and we can pray. There are various opportunities, large and small, throughout those 10 days. And then it culminates with South Parade Together, Pentecost Sunday, 20th of May, here in the morning. So there is no evening sent that day. A Crag and Connect are joining with Headingley Sunday morning, and so we will be the whole church together. Really exciting opportunity. We'll say some visionary things. There's some opportunity to really pray together. So the whole of those 10 days I want to commend to you as real opportunities to pray right across the church, which is South Parade.
So as well as the event in the morning where we're all worshiping together, there in the evening on Sunday the 20th at 6 to 8:30 p.m. we're encouraging people to go to Bridge Community Church, which is down in Bermantofts, near St. James's Hospital. There's a global day of prayer, so churches from all across Leeds will be gathering at Bridge Community Church to seek God together and pray. If you're thinking of going to that and you'd appreciate a lift or appreciate a car share, because parking is going to be a challenge in that part of town if everybody's been going to be going, please speak to myself or Peter or someone at the end, and we can make sure that we can arrange transport for you and things like that. Right. So coming up as well, there's a couple of events that are run in the community that we're hosting. This is part of the Headingley Manuscript project. So Helen, have you got anything that you'd like to share about those?
Yep, so this is just a reminder, the next two Thursdays, the 10th and the 17th, there's an opportunity to take part in a creative writing project. It's here in the hall at 7:30 on the next two Thursdays, and the topic is Headingley, and it's something that we're doing with the local community who are compiling stories from people who are part of Headingley's life. So yeah, so you're all welcome. That all includes... Yeah, we didn't realise that at the time. But anyway, so you can choose. It's another way of, you know, worshipping and praising God through that. So, yeah.
Thanks, Helen.
And another date for the diary is the Sent Away Day. So that's having a day away on the 30th of June. We're going to the Norwood Centre, which is up just north of Otley. It's going to be a sort of a 9:30 till kind of 4 o'clock-ish sort of a day, but we're going to plan some optional stuff for into the evening as well. So if you're interested in coming for that, then there's going to be a sign-up sheet through in the greenhouse with refreshments as well. Again, if it's going to be £5 for the day, there's going to be a sign-up sheet. Again, if you're looking for transport and looking for a lift, then please give us a shout and we can... sort that one out. We're going to be looking at, again, different preferences in our ways of worshipping and our ways of reaching out with Jesus' good news to others, and how that is very complementary when we've got a mixture of different people within the same community worshipping God together. So I'd encourage you to come to that if you're able to. If you would say that your main mission community within South Parade isn't Sent, but it sounds interesting, I'd encourage you to come along as well. We're not going to be really defensive and introverted about this and sort of internalised. We're going to, if anybody's interested in it, we're going to allow, anybody can come along. And it's going to be really, really good. Are there any other notices that people have got? Jeff?
Thank you. Just to say that from next Sunday, Craig is working with Lister Hill, which is another Baptist church in Horsforth, and we're hosting an Alpha course at Costa. We're doing it on a Sunday evening. We found that that works quite well. It's a good time, it seems, for people to come along. So it's not just for people from Horsforth. You can make the intrepid journey all the way across there from here. You may have a friend who you'd like to introduce to the faith, and Alpha is a wonderful way of doing that. So I've got some little cards here if you want to use them. So at 6:30 on a Sunday evening at Costa Coffee on New Roadside, the A65 in Horsforth. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. I meant insular, not introverted. That was the word I was looking for. Insular was what I meant. Apologies. Any other notices that people have got? No, all good. We're going to move into a time of prayer for the things that we've been discussing, the events that we're putting on as a church, that and the things that we're involved in, that God would be the centre of those. It would also be good to pray for our street of the week, which is Trelawn Street, which is up this sort of way. So just pray for the people who live there and pray that we can reach out to those and support those who are believers and who live there already. It'd be good to remember Irene West as well, who is one of our mission partners who's serving in North Africa. It'd be good to pray for her. And is there anything else particularly that people would like us to pray for or particularly would appreciate us remembering?
Just
Say again, sorry?
11.
So could you briefly explain these two?
It's Lily. She's having some hard times on immigration, so just pray for Lily what comes to this church.
Sure. Okay, so we'll pray for Lily and Lillian. Lillian, and we'll pray for her immigration, bureaucracy and things, that will get sorted out. Anything else?
Just a quick prayer request from someone outside the church. I had to use a taxi to get back from work on Saturday, and the driver asked me about what I was doing today, so I told him I would be here. And immediately he just asked for prayer for himself and his wife. They've been married for 9 years, but they don't have a child, and they would really love to have a child. So it would be great if we could pray for Atif and his wife, that God would bless them with a child, and more importantly, that they would know where that blessing comes from and that they would know him.
Sure. Fantastic. Anything else? Okay. So I thought we'd have a time of open prayer. If people could, as they feel led, to pray for those aloud, and we'll join in quietly as they pray. So that was Atif and his wife, Lillian, Trelawne Street, Irene West, and anything else that's on your heart. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for South Parade and for the church throughout Leeds. Thank you, Lord, that we are one and we are united in you. We have you in common, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to be more united, to work more closely together. And we pray for these events, like the Global Day of Prayer, that would draw us closer together as your people. To be more like your family on a larger scale. Lord, we just pray for our times of seeking you over these next few weeks between Ascension Day and Pentecost. We pray for a really profound encounter with you whenever we make time to pray as a church and as individuals, Lord God. Whether that's here, whether it's making time at work to pray, or whatever it is. We just pray that you'll be meeting with us as a church, giving us a sense of where you're leading us, and equipping us through your Spirit and through the encouragement of each other to follow you wherever you lead us, Lord Jesus. For your glory we pray. Amen. the way that she lives that out every day, and that she serves so passionately within this church and within this community, and at the same time has to deal with so many stresses and uncertainties with her immigration status, Lord. We thank you for her faith in that as well, and we just pray that, pray that the processes and systems will work as they should, and that all the uncertainty will be cleared up, and that she will be able to stay. Lord, that's what we understand, and that's what we pray. We just ask that you'll be providing for Lillian with regard to that, and in the meantime, give her peace and help us as your people to support her as she needs. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can pray these things. Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you for leading us as we pray, particularly about the things that we don't really know where to start to pray about. And Father God, thank you that you hear and that you act. Amen. So we're going to have our reading now, which is from Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read from verses 8 to 20. So in this church Bible, that's on page 1027. So I'll give you a minute to find that. So, Luke chapter 2, and reading from verse 8. The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, that the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It feels very odd for somebody who's lived all their life in Yorkshire to read that passage when it's swelteringly hot outside. Normally it's cold and miserable when we read that one. So before Peter comes to share from that passage for us, we're going to do a couple of things. One of them is, in a few minutes, we're going to sing. But before then, we're going to spend a bit of time reflecting on this passage. So hopefully on the way in, you'll have got a small piece of paper with a few questions on it. And what I thought we would do this evening is sort of walk through the passage a little bit and sort of consider it as we go through. So on the walls of the church just over here, there's a few sections of the passage, a few of few verses called out, and a sort of question under them. And so this is a passage that's going to underpin a lot of the teaching for the next few months, this idea of Jesus being good news of great joy for all people. So I'd encourage you to start at the far end and think about these things, ask God what he's saying to you, reflect on where you are and what God's saying and what the passage means and what is good news to you and so on. And so, go through it quickly, go through it slowly, whatever pace suits you. Obviously, I'd maybe just leave a little while for a few people to filter through rather than just be one big scrum to get to the start of it. But I'd encourage you to, write things down. If you think that there's something particularly worth reflecting on or remembering, write it down, and we'll probably pick it up later in the series. And hopefully that will guide us as we as we reflect on the good news that Jesus is and what that means for us in a variety of situations. So does that sort of make sense? Have I vaguely explained that well? There's a few nods and not too many looks of confusion, at least not too many more than normal when I'm speaking. So we'll go for that. So there'll be a bit of music on in the background that we can reflect on as well. But yeah, I'd encourage you, take a few minutes for that. If anybody's short of a pen, I've got a few down the front here as well. So, go ahead. Well, that's good. Hopefully that's been useful. I know some people really appreciate reflecting in that particular way. Other people, it's not necessarily the most natural thing to do. So thanks for your patience if that's not your natural way to dig into a Bible passage. Hopefully it will have challenged you and got you thinking, though. So before Peter comes to speak to us, we're going to sing. And during this song, we're going to take up our offering. So that's for an offering for the work of this church within these walls, within the city of Leeds, and as we've been hearing earlier, across the world as well. If a lot of people give through standard orders and give through their time and give by service during the week as well, and so thank you for those who do that. If you're not prepared or not able to give, then please let the bags pass by. That's absolutely fine as well. So shall we stand and sing?
Do sit down. Well, it's a great privilege to come and begin this series. It does sound strange handling this passage in the middle, well, not the middle, but the beginning of May. Those of you of a certain age, i.e. my age, will remember that there used to be a really big thing about the Christmas number one and the Christmas symbol single. I'm thinking 1970s when Top of the Pops was such a major program. And everybody had their favourite Christmas song. And most people seem to like Slade. I've forgotten the title. It's... Merry Christmas, everybody. I was going to say something else, but Merry Christmas, everybody. But that wasn't my favourite, which is probably why I can't remember it. I like the song by Wizard with two Z's. Again, anybody remember this? I wish it could be Christmas every day. Even if you weren't around at the time, you've probably heard it playing as you've done your Christmas shopping. Maybe in November, maybe in October, hopefully in December. It is a well-known song. And when I looked at this passage, I thought, that wish has come true. It's Christmas every day. It's Christmas today. We don't normally handle this passage outside of the Advent and Christmas season. But that is a shame, because this is so rich for us. And this is a wonderful way for Saint to begin this series on the Christian good news. And I guess handling it at this time maybe allows us to go a little bit deeper and to look at facets of it that we wouldn't normally hold up to the light if we were preaching on it at Advent or Christmas. So it's a wonderful passage for us to look at this morning, even though it's the beginning of May, even though the sun is shining, and even though we've seen the Tour de Yorkshire go past in the hazy afternoon sun. It is so important, though, to think about good news, to think about the gospel. The word good news that the angels use in Greek, it's euangelion, and it is also translated in the scriptures as gospel. And basically, good news and gospel mean the same thing. Gospel is the Christian good news. And it takes us to the very heart of the Christian faith. This is what we're about. We're not dealing with peripheral things in this series. If we're thinking about the good news, if we're thinking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, then it is absolutely front and center and the heart of the Christian message. And we need to know what this is all about, because we can make mistakes when it comes to the Christian good news. One mistake that we can make is to think that anything is basically the gospel. And there is this sort of thinking around, which is rather vague and wispy, and that if a church is providing a service for people, it could be any service, then that is the gospel, or that is a part of the gospel. If someone is being loved in a very vague and sentimental and fuzzy way, then that is somehow the gospel. But actually, in the New Testament, the gospel is much more sharply defined than that. And there is remarkable clarity throughout the New Testament as to what the gospel is. And this passage doesn't give us all the answers, but it certainly gives us a real beginning in terms of understanding and clarifying the gospel. But we also need to recognize, once we have understood the gospel, once we've clarified it, that the gospel is something that impacts the whole of life. We think about the lordship of Christ, and there is not a split second, not a square inch over which Jesus is not rightfully Lord. The ground may be counterclaimed by Satan, but Jesus is the rightful Lord of all. And the Christian good news affects everything. It affects us personally. It affects the whole of our lives, our relationships, our work life, how we spend our leisure time. Anything that we can think about, whether it is private or public, the gospel affects it once we have understood the gospel. And it's not just our lives. We read it in the reading. This is good news for all the people. And so everybody is to be affected by this gospel. We have a gospel which is for all the people. We have a gospel that is for the whole world. We have a gospel, a good news, that affects the whole of the cosmos. Tim Keller puts it this way in his book, Center Church.
Everything is not the gospel. So just back to the slide before. Everything is not the gospel, and the gospel affects everything. So not everything is the gospel. We need to define, we need to clarify the gospel. But once we have understood the gospel, once we have received the gospel, we recognize that the gospel affects everything. The whole of our lives, the whole of the world, how we see things, how we view things, how we move forward as Christian people. The gospel affects everything. So this is a very significant series, I believe, not just for Sent, but for the whole church. And I will be encouraging people right across South Parade that this will be a great series for people to come and check out. So two things this evening along these themes. First of all, defining the gospel, and then thinking about how the gospel affects us. And in the first thing, defining and understanding the gospel, we see that there are three interlinked words which really help us here. In verse 11, the announcement of the angels, they herald the good news and they say, Saviour and Christ and Lord. There's a Saviour who will be born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. Saviour and Christ and Lord. This is the good news that is announced to the shepherds. The first word, Saviour, effectively means rescuer, someone who is going to come and who is going to effect a great rescue. And the implication behind this is that people need saving, people need rescuing. And as we take in the whole of Scripture, we see that people are mired in sin and shame. Our world is broken and hurting and confused. And Jesus comes into that situation as Saviour, as Rescuer. He comes to change our lives and to save us. Rescuing is something that also was part of my childhood. The next slide that's coming up, we've gone back to the 70s with the music illustration. We're going back to the 60s with this one. I don't know if you recognize the program again. I'd like to say, Chris, I thought you'd be too young. Chris is saying Thunderbirds. This is very exciting. I ought to come clean and say that in my humble opinion, the two Thunderbird series, which were made in 1965 and 1966, are probably the best television programs ever made. When I was growing up, I didn't believe they were puppets. This is how realistic this series is. And I have loved this series. I have the boxed set. I have seen them all many times with my children when they were growing up as an excuse to watch them again. And then now, when I just want to switch off and relax. Fantastic programs. If you don't know this series, you won't have a clue what I'm on about, so I will just fill in a little bit of background. These guys, the brothers and Lady Penelope and Brains, they work for an organization called International Rescue, and wherever there is trouble in the world, they are there. It does strike me now as an adult watching this. It is fortunate that there are not disasters happening at the same time. That never seems to happen in the programs. There is just one disaster at a time, and so they can cope with it. But in their amazing machines, they fly around the world and they rescue people. People who are trapped at the bottom of the sea. People who are trapped and who are just about to topple over a cliff. People who are under attack from the evil hood. Whatever the problem is, International Rescue are there. And the thing is that they never, ever fail. I don't really want to give a spoiler, but given that these programs were made so long ago, it's not like I'm giving away the end of a recent film. International Rescue never fail. I can tell you that for sure. I have watched every episode at least three times. The people that they set out to rescue, however disastrous the situation, they are always able to save. And we have a Saviour like that. There is no person, there is no situation, there is no one who has messed up, however badly, that Jesus cannot save. There is no one who does not need saving. Occasionally in international rescue, there was someone who was in terrible peril and they didn't realize it and they just carried on with their lives. Sometimes people can be like that. They don't realize that they need rescuing. No one is beyond the help of Jesus, and everybody needs the help of Jesus. All of us need him to come as our rescuer, and he never, ever fails. What is the Christian good news? What is the Christian gospel? It is the gospel of Jesus, our Saviour. And the second word, Messiah, really highlights that for us. It means anointed one, Christ in Greek, Messiah in Hebrew. And again, the expectation was that Messiah would come and he would save his people. But as anointed one, he would also come as ruler. He is Lord as well as Savior. He is rescuer and ruler. And the personal implications of this are wide. If we can just move on to the next slide, we see a couple of coins with an inscription. And the person on them is Caesar. And the inscription basically makes it clear that Caesar is Lord. It's Caesar Augustus Tiberius, and he is son of the divine Augustus, according to the inscription. The Caesars were regarded as divine. They were part of God in the Roman thinking, and recognize the power that that would have given them, the lordship over the known world, as people thought. And here in first century Palestine, there is a proclamation, new news, good news, that someone is going to be born who is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And it's an incendiary announcement. It is a statement which is political and powerful and is a real challenge to the status quo, because people did believe that Caesar was Lord. And to proclaim another as Lord, Jesus, was a direct challenge to the ruling powers. This came home to the first Christians as they were persecuted for their faith in the Roman Empire. What would have happened in a number of places is that in the forum or in the center of a place, there would be set up a bust of whatever Roman emperor was on the throne at the time. There would have been a fire going and people would have been lined up, and they would have been expected to sprinkle a little bit of incense on the fire to denote worship and to say, Caesar is Lord. And it was a way to catch the Christians out. It was a way to highlight who was a believer in Jesus Christ. Because a faithful Christian would not say Caesar is Lord, because they had believed this good news and they knew that there was another Lord, Jesus. And so they were respectful to the earthly ruling power. They sought to live as good citizens within the empire, but they followed Jesus as Lord, and if he was Lord and God, then there could be no other. Saviour and Lord, rescuer and ruler, Jesus, the good news, the one who has come. And what we could do is move on to apply this and to think about how this is real in our lives. So we could move on from defining and clarifying and understanding the good news to thinking about how it applies to us today. But there is one more step that we need to make before we get there. Because we've talked about Jesus as this great and mighty Lord, as the one who rescues and who never fails. He is a great and mighty king. The fact that he is born in Bethlehem, in David's city, the place of King David, marks him out as a king. He is one who has come in David's line. And if he's going to be greater than the great Roman Caesars, and if he is going to be this person who can rescue all who turn to him, then what sort of person is this going to be? We read in verse 12, "This will be a sign to you." What is that sign going to be? What might we expect? We might expect it to say something like this. "This will be a sign to you. A great and mighty king will appear at the head of a vast army." Or, "This will be a sign to you. A great warrior will come and will boot out the hated Romans and establish a great new kingdom in that way." Or even, "This will be a sign to you. A baby will be born and it will be in a wonderful palace and there will be opulence and he will have servants and there will be gold and that's how it's going to be." That's the sign. That's the sign that is coming. But of course, that is not what the verse says. Verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The idea of the cloths, of the swaddling bands, would have been, in the thinking of the day, to wrap the child up tightly. So we can imagine this baby unable to move his arms properly, and certainly in the way of any baby, unable to feed himself, unable to clothe himself, unable to defend himself from attack. And laid in a manger. This is an animal's feeding trough. This is one of the least sentimental pictures that I could find. If you Google manger or if you Google nativity, then you usually come up with this soft focus scene of very clean-looking animals who are smiling and this lovely, clean, hygienic straw and little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes, and Mary who's just given birth, who is glowing and smiling and happy, and the shepherds come and they're very, very finely dressed, and it just looks a picture box scene. Modern hospitals would struggle to reach this sort of standard of cleanliness. But of course, it wasn't like that at all. A baby laid in an animal's feeding trough, in a stable, perhaps in a cave, with mess and dirt and smell, and maybe animals milling around, the cold, the difficulty. That is what really, really happened. And this is the sign. Saviour and Christ and Lord, and yet coming so small, as a baby, so defenceless, coming and being with us, identifying with us in our pain and our distress and our brokenness. And this shows how God comes as our Lord. This shows how God comes as our rescuer in Jesus Christ. He doesn't shout at us from a distance, from a megaphone. He doesn't send down this good news to us. He comes, the living Word of God, not just speaking good news, but incarnating good news, embodying good news in his very presence, and identifying not with the rich and powerful, but with the poor and lowly. Born in a stable, laid in a manger, appearing to the shepherds who are working class guys in our terms. They are not the bank managers of the Middle East. They are those who are with their animals on the hillside and they are not highly regarded. And yet it is to these people that the good news comes. I want to just pause. I'm going to apply this a little bit more in a moment. But I just want each one of us, whether we are rich or whether we're poor, whether we are sad or whether we're happy, whether we're going on strongly on the road of discipleship or whether we're struggling, whether we have not yet begun and we're just beginning to recognize, I need to put my faith in Jesus. Whoever you are, whatever your situation, whatever your struggles and your hopes and your joys, this is good news for you. And if you are in distress, if you are, in a sense, cold and on the hillside and it's dark, the glory of the Lord shines tonight. God wants to shine in your hearts. He wants to come to you by the Holy Spirit and reassure you of his amazing grace and say, this is good news for you. It's for all people, and everybody is included. But the fact that it's for all people doesn't mean that it's indiscriminate, doesn't mean that it's a sort of blanket love. Here God comes in his mercy and grace to these trembling shepherds. They have an angel visitation. They hear the words and they respond with joy. And you can hear and respond tonight. Whoever you are, wherever you at, this is good news for you. The wonder of the incarnation, the wonder of the Christian good news. And then just finally, some ways that we can apply this very specifically, very concretely into our lives. There are five things, and just a minute or so on each one. First of all, belief. Put your faith in Jesus as rescuer and ruler. We see that in verse 20. The shepherds respond. They hear this good news, and I guess one potential response is, sorry, angels, we don't want any of this. We'd like to stay in the night. We'd like to stay with our sheep. But they show that they believe. They show that they have faith because they go and see. They come to Jesus. And their actions, their worship, the fact that they go and tell, shows that they have embraced this joyfully and personally for themselves. The good news for all of us is that Jesus is rescuer and ruler. And my encouragement to you, if you've not received this rescue, or maybe you have, but you've just sort of slipped away from Jesus and you're not following him as you know you could, come back to him. Receive him again as the one who rescues you and the one who wants to bring his just and gentle rule into your life. He is rescuer and ruler. Second thing, worship. Verse 14 and verse 20, the angels worship with great joy. Glory to God in the highest. And the shepherds come and they have great joy as they come to Jesus. A.W. Tozer says this, God wants worshippers first and workers second. And one of my prayers for us as a whole church is that God would stir our hearts up in worship. That doesn't happen when we work ourselves up in some way. It happens when we come to Jesus as the shepherds did, when we go and see, when we hear and receive the good news and we reflect on it. So our hearts turn in worship to our wonderful Lord. If this is good news and it is the best news that anybody could receive, then it should kindle a wonderful joy in our hearts and should call us out in worship and praise to the living God. Belief and worship. Encouragement to submit to Jesus as Lord. If he is Saviour and Christ and Lord, then part of the good news is the lordship of Jesus over our lives. That can sound a challenging thing. And in some ways, it doesn't sound like good news. We don't want to put ourselves under the lordship of another. We want, in our own unreconstructed selves, to be lord of our own lives. We want to be in control. We want to call the shots. But actually, when that happens, things go badly wrong. We find that we get damaged. We find that we damage others. And Jesus' lordship, as I've already said, is just and gentle and wonderful. This is God's world. And if we live in God's world, God's way, under the lordship of Christ, there will be suffering, yes, as we follow Jesus on the path of discipleship. And yet there will be great joy as we submit to Jesus as Lord. He is Lord of all of our lives. And if we have bowed the knee before him, it's an important question to ask. Are there dimensions of our lives? Are there segments of our lives that we're trying to hold back from him? We sometimes divide our lives into secular and sacred, and we come to a church service, we worship, we praise, we read the Bible, we might give a bit of money to the work of the church, we might engage in some mission. But in terms of our politics and our leisure time and what we do at home when the door swings shut, what we think in our hearts, what we do with our careers, whether we just follow worldly ambition or whether we submit everything to our Lord Jesus. All of these things and more we can attempt to hold back from him. And if Jesus is Lord of all, he is to be Lord of the whole of my life. Just as we sit and as we reflect and as we allow God the Holy Spirit to come to us, is he just highlighting an area of our lives where he wants to come in once again as Lord? He is our rightful Lord. Is there anything that we're holding back? Go and tell. We see the shepherds did that. Verse 17, they are very, very early evangelists. And full of joy, they go and tell. And I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, to be people who go and tell. We make it very, very complicated sometimes. And we think that it's got to be a big thing in a big meeting. And we think that we've got to have every I dotted and every T crossed before we speak. But actually, what would these guys have known, really? They'd heard Saviour and Lord and Christ, and they had seen this baby. But probably their understanding is going to be a bit hazy. And actually, the gospel story is going to unfold much more. There's going to be wonderful teaching that Jesus gives. He's going to die on a cross. He's going to rise again to eternal life. He's going to ascend into heaven, Ascension Day coming up on Thursday. He is ruling and reigning in heaven. He is coming again one day. This is the Christian gospel. How much do these shepherds understand about that? Well, probably not that much. And yet, they go and tell. If you have met Jesus, if you know him as Saviour and Lord and friend, you can go and tell. It's good to have the gospel straight. It's good to be clear about what we believe. But we don't have to have every I dotted and every T crossed before we share, before we say, Jesus has met me, something has happened in my life, and it's wonderful. We might use the wrong words, we might stumble over the phrases, but if it's real, if it's authentic, if it bubbles up from within, we too can go and tell. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage myself. I realize that in evangelism and reaching out, some of the stories that I tell, they're getting a bit old. And I need more courage. And I just need to take those opportunities which present themselves and be ready to share the Christian faith. I want to encourage you. I hope to have some new stories to share very, very soon. And I encourage you to have your own stories as you reach out for the Lord Jesus. And then finally, reflect the incarnation. This is a good place for us to end up because it's the heart of the passage here. The fact that Jesus doesn't come on a war horse, the fact that he isn't born in a palace, the fact that God didn't stay where he was and shouted us through a megaphone, the fact that he came not just proclaiming good news but as good news is something that should shape our own mission as God's people. Sometimes in mission we can do sort of hit and run. We go in and we say something to someone and then we withdraw. In Victorian times, some of the stuff that I studied as a church historian, the Victorian church did so many good and wonderful and exciting things, but there was a strain of mission where people would sort of go in from the suburbs and they would work in a town centre area, but no one would ever move in because it was too dangerous and it was too difficult. And I think we ought to question that whilst we recognise that very often we don't do much better ourselves. Jesus came and he identified with the poorest. He came and he made himself desperately vulnerable. He came incarnating, embodying the good news, living lives up close with people who were hurting and who were struggling. And this is the Son of God who calls us to follow him. As I look out, I know that there are many of you who in your lives, whether it's work life, whether it's the stuff you do with Connect or at Crag, who are seeking to live lives amongst people who are broken and hurting. God bless you as you do that. That is incarnating the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is not only proclaiming the good news, but living the good news. May God lead us more and more into this form of mission and ministry in the days that lie ahead. This is wonderful, wonderful good news. Good news for all time, for all the people. The very, very best news that we could ever receive. Let's receive it for ourselves. Let's proclaim it joyfully. And more than proclamation, as we incarnate the gospel, may we be good news people ourselves. Let's pause for a moment and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Let's be quiet for just a moment or so. Saviour and Christ and Lord, rescuer and ruler. We thank you for this wonderful, extraordinary good news. Thank you that when it was night, the angels came and the glory of the Lord broke in, shone all around. Thank you that the lives of the shepherds were transformed. And we thank you for the power of the gospel to transform us and to make us into agents of transformation for others. Oh Lord, so come to us that we might respond to your words in the power of the Holy Spirit. Believing, having faith in you, bowing the knee before you, as Lord, saying, Lord, you are Lord of all of my life. Take me, every part of me. Lord, we hold nothing back. Help us to be those who go and tell, and help us to be those who embody the gospel who are ready to touch people's wounds, their brokenness, who are ready to love and to love again, even making ourselves vulnerable as we follow you, the Lord Jesus, who made yourself vulnerable for us. Show us how, in our own contexts and situations, empower us by the Holy Spirit to be those who speak the good news and who live the good news. Help us, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The bands are going to come back and we're going to sing a couple of songs of response. I think the first one is "We Stand and Lift Up Our Hands." Is that right? That's great. So we better stand. And if you want to lift up your hands, then please feel free. "We Stand and Lift Up Our Hands," and then straight into the wonderful hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" Songs that speak of the Christian good news and our response.
Yeah.
a wonderful good news gospel hymn. And we close with a wonderful gospel blessing. This is from the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Christ Jesus our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Joy at the birth of Jesus. Joy as we are presented faultless before our God. Joy at the beginning and at the end and in the middle as well. May we know this joy in our hearts, this glorious gospel joy as we go. And may we share that joy with others. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Tea and coffee in the greenhouse. Do come and share with us.